All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, before we go to the phones, I just wanted to add this. And this is in today's Guardian. It's by Francine Prose. We Americans are dancing on the Titanic. Our iceberg is not far away. I mean, really, really well said. The greatest shock of all would be to wake up and find that while we're driving the kids to soccer practice and enjoying cocktails, autocracy took hold. By now, the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade hardly comes as a surprise. We've known this was imminent since the leak a month or so ago of Justice Alito's memo, and yet it still delivers a profound shock. In fact, a series of shocks. Stunned, we asked, how could this happen, as if we hadn't known for weeks that it was a more or less done deal? Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Tom, what's going on, man?
Earl, first off, we the people are the government, and that means all of us. Second, the Republicans are the pro-death party. These guys that just called in this morning, I'm so dumbfounded. First off, I think they called Sam Little Lady, if I got that right.
Correct. I loved that.
Which showed me exactly the type of human beings that they are.
Love that I'll never get respect.
and that already, Sam, that it's taking place that men are thinking that they're superior to women and tell them what to do. Again, I am as pro-life as you get. I don't believe in termination. I don't believe in war. I don't believe in capital punishment. I don't believe in classroom shootings. I don't believe in any of it. But I do believe in a woman's right to choose. I'm sorry, gang, but God, if you want to take it up with God, made it so the women have to have the baby. So if you want to take it up with someone, take it up with your damn God. Because they're the ones that have had to have the burden of carrying children for centuries. And for you guys to go there and speak to women the way that you do, when it was a woman that brought you into this world, is absolutely...
But Tom, how can you be surprised at that? That's historically what has happened. Okay,
absolutely.
Men, that's the reality of, where we are. That women have never been equal. You know, as a person of color, I know what it's like not to be considered equal, right? So
exactly.
women know the exact same thing, that they are never looked at as equals in the
absolutely.
Society by the same people who didn't look at people of color as equal, white men.
You got that exactly correct, Earl. And the thing about it is that these are the most insecure. These are the most, they want to be in power and in control, white, straight males. I won't say all of them. A lot of them.
No, it's not all of them. You're right. But we know.
Those
who call themselves Republicans, for sure.
Absolutely, 100%. They want to be the head of the household. They don't want to let minorities get ahead, whether brown, black, LGBTQ+, women, whatever it is. And then when they start seeing that these people start moving ahead a little bit in society, all of a sudden they want to go and put laws in place that put them back where they were to start with. It is so disgusting. This is not, I repeat, this is not, I wish the media would get this right. This is not an abortion issue. This is not a pro-life issue. This is a pro-woman's right to choose or pro-the government's right to choose.
So, Tom, let me tell you who needs to come out right now and who the Democrats need to push to the forefront. You would be a little amazed to hear me say this, but there's only one person. You ever hear of Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
That's who they need to put out front.
I agree.
And because Hillary Clinton, say whatever it is you want to say, is the killer of conservative white males. They're terrified of her, right?
Absolutely. That's why they basically drowned her in the bathtub.
That's my point.
I mean, but she
is right now should be the person that they bring back and let her deal with this issue publicly. They would be smart if they brought her out.
What they should do is be putting the pressure on Manchin and Sinema like never before, and put it like a thunder on them.
Well, but Joe Manchin has come out and said, Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett lied to us. They said they weren't going to overturn. What? They lied to you, Joe Manchin? You took them at their word?
What does that have to do with the tea in China?
I only said that because you said putting pressure on Manchin. Nothing's going to change Manchin. That's who he is. I just believe that Hillary Clinton, the time is right. And I know there are many people, progressives, who don't want to ever hear Hillary Clinton's name again. But if ever there was a time that Hillary Clinton's name should come up, it's right now.
Well, we know one thing. Hillary Clinton would not have put people on the Supreme Court, like we said from the get-go, that would have made it where a woman's right to choose would have gone away.
Hey, no question.
Like I said, have got to stay laser focused, though, Earl, on the fact that this is not a pro-life issue. This is a woman's right to choose, Tom, issue and women losing power.
Let's delve a little deeper into that because, as you well know, one of the Supreme Court justices said, basically, this is just the beginning. They're going after gay marriage. They're going after gay rights.
Yeah,
that's coming.
They are. Absolutely.
Okay. So if they're able to overturn Roe versus Wade, who's to stop them from overturning anything else? Number one, the Supreme Court is not supposed to be an entity that litigates anything. Am I right?
No. No.
Okay.
Judges the laws that are
on the books.
Right.
So we see, and this is what I mean, though, Tom, when I talk about the civil war that's brewing. And yet if we can't get, there are people marching across the nation and really across the world because they know what is taking place here is in a nation that claims to be just, right?
They're marching to the ballot. As long as they're marching to the ballot box, that's what I care about.
Hey, Tom, even though they can march, and I'm not telling anybody not to vote, they have things so gerrymandered at the state levels.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
People are going to go and vote and do what they should do. And I know there are some people who are saying they're getting tired of this. And I even listened to and watched some of the conservative stuff over the weekend. And they even know that this is going to rally women, right? It should rally. If it doesn't rally women, except for those women on the right who are as, like Bobbitt, Congresswoman Bobbitt
and Marjorie Taylor Greene,
it's hard to even put them in the category as women. They're pit bulls.
Yeah, they really belong in the asylum.
Right. they truly do. But unless there are women like that, then you got to ask the question why most women, as you saw the celebration for some women, and women are, looks like split on this. Let me ask you, Sam, hang on, Tom. There are women who say yes and who agree with the overturning of this. What is your thought to that?
I think that's very anti-women and very unfeminist. And I think that, like, that the man that called from Sussex earlier, he said, why don't I get a say in it? Well, you can have a say in it with your wife, maybe. But why do you need a say in every single woman in the world's or in America's business? Like, you can have that discussion with your wife if you want children. But you do not get the right to impose it on every single person in the United States of America.
Tom?
100% agree with Sam. I'll tell you what. I personally, like I said, I am against termination. I think that there should be more situations like the guy that called in who, you know, people that want to adopt or whatever, if you want to take someone in and you want to, you know, help them out or whatever, great. Save the child. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, and the bottom line is, this is a woman's right to choose, not the government. This is a woman's right to choose, not men. We are not the ones that have the right to choose on this. It is a woman's right to choose.
All right,
that's the bottom line. Because I'll tell you what, women lost this choice. Government now controls their body. And because of that, they are second-class citizens, unfortunately.
Again.
And yes, they will be going after black people. They're going to go after gays. They're going to go after everybody they possibly can to make sure that we are basically...
All right, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, at the root of this is a Supreme Court that has really been the bedrock of what the democracy is supposedly about. You know, with all the different institutions that exist in this nation, none has been more powerful or more respected than the United States Supreme Court. After all, that is where the heartbeat of what this nation is supposedly about is tested. And now, the heartbeat of that Supreme Court and those who believe in it now have to look at it with a jaundiced eye. Somehow, we've always looked at the Supreme Court as the one place that separated this nation from all the other nations on earth. That was the arbiter of who and what we were. And the justices there, for the most part, have been beyond reproach. Decade after decade after decade, we may have had differences on the state levels, and so, you know, we couldn't solve the problems state to state, and even in some instances, the state in which we live, we knew that there were things that weren't right, weren't just, weren't proper, and just because you lived in that state, again, a representative government, we the people. You know, Tom says we the people are the government. Well, to a degree. You know, and the Supreme Court was always the one arbiter that made what Tom says true. Because if the decision was not in the interest of people who live in a particular state on a state level, and they've elected and voted, and the judges on those levels were appointed by politicksters who we supported through our votes, even though there were some of us who voted not with the winning party, and yet we still had a way to address our grievance through the Supreme Court. Who believes in that anymore? You know, and this is not just because of the overturning of Roe versus Wade. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that it's been stacked already. A 6-3 majority. Republican. Now, you want to talk about stacking the court? Who was it? Oh, I think it was CJ. Well, they're trying to stack the court. The Democrats are trying to. What do you think the court is right now? It's stacked. It's stacked. It's stacked 6-3. And these are lifetime appointments. So it's going to be stacked. I'm pretty sure I know for sure the rest of my life. I'm not going to see a balanced Supreme Court in my lifetime, barring some untimely deaths to conservative justices who are, for the most part, younger. We're at that point. So when you hear President Biden still saying he's opposed to court packing, I'm like, hey, Joe, everything you've attempted to get through, you can't get through because they've rigged everything on the right. You know that. You're a good man. But why are you unwilling to push back? I think that's part of the reason that the Democrats are in trouble. Because there's a segment of the Democratic Party that says, man, you're the president of the United States. You see what these people are doing and have done, and you're not willing to push back. You're not willing to pack the court. They've already packed it. Packing the court the other way brings balance.
Well, what are you talking about, Earl? The Republicans did this the right way. They did.
You know, no, it wasn't done the right way. We know it wasn't. And we know the reasons and the rationale behind it, a sinister plot that has been going on ever since Ronald Reagan came into office. Newt Gingrich's, on the people. What was it? Assault on the people? I call it assault on the people. He called it, help me out, 844-967-2789. You know, when you get a little older, you start forgetting these little things.
It's not just when you're older, I promise.
I know, but I should know what this is. And I know other people in the audience know. But you get to a point where you see these things for what they are. And so the Supreme Court, as we knew it, and historically, they're going to be talking about the time when the Supreme Court died and the belief of the people in it died. We're at that point. Contract on the people, I don't know. It's something like that. But anyway, that's where we are right now. As of June 24th, 2022, the United States Supreme Court should be officially understood as the illegitimate institution, a tool of minority rule over the majority, and as part of a far-right ideological an authoritarian takeover that must be snuffed out if we want American democracy to survive. And this is in The Guardian. It's time to say it. The U.S. Supreme Court has become an illegitimate institution. Jill Filivac said. Who do we have on the line?
Jackie from Milwaukee.
Hey, Jackie, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. What was Newt Gingrich's? Do you remember?
No, okay. I missed the part of your show getting out.
Tom says contract on America.
Contract on America.
Sorry to interrupt, Jack.
No, that's it.
No,
right.
That's okay.
All right.
What's the contract on America? I missed this last part. I'm sorry.
No, Newt Gingrich came out with, it wasn't contract on America, contract for America. or something like that. It wasn't on America. But anyway, Tom, thank you. But go ahead, Jackie, go ahead.
Actually, I just want to make a comment for these white chauvinist guys calling in, the control freaks. I think if it was men getting having babies, I'd be thinking totally different. This would never happen. But I also wondered if you heard the story in the front page of the journal. It gave a few samples of women pregnant, like a girl that was raped by her father over and over and over again until she finally got, you know, got childbearing age.
Right.
So she got pregnant. So she was devastated, embarrassed, ashamed. She went to her best friend's mother who helped her get an abortion, but she didn't tell her what happened. And the mom was shaming her. Then she goes to the abortion clinic, and the anti-abortion people are shaming her. I'm like, these people don't even know. Is this woman supposed to really go on and have her father's child?
You know, Jackie, you know what I would say? When you hear people who don't understand the amount of women who've been molested in the society, the men who've done the molesting, and then to turn around and tell the woman, they can't even see that.
I know.
Hey, Jackie, hang on. Gotta go. Call back after the break. 844-967-2789. We'll be. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can join us. You know, the frustrations that people are feeling, and it's not so much, again, because of this particular case. It's because of what we know is coming. And when you have a Supreme Court that has been put together like this one, this will go down without question as the most slanted Supreme Court in the history of the nation. And it's only been there, it's only been together for, you know, a year, if that. And yet you already know what the outcome is going to be with these last three justices. These last three justices that Donald Trump and his band with Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham have orchestrated and have been wanting to see happen for decades has finally come to fruition. Of the nine justices sitting on the current court, five, all of them in the majority opinion that overturned Roe, were appointed by presidents who initially lost the popular vote. Think about that. They wouldn't be there. They shouldn't even be there. The people who appointed them lost a popular vote. That makes it illegitimate. But it doesn't matter, because even though it is illegitimate, at the root of it, they are there. And they'll be there for the next three decades in some instances. You want to talk about illegitimacy? With Donald Trump talking about Joe Biden's presidency being illegitimate. What is illegitimate is, again, of five of the nine justices that are presently on the Supreme Court, two of the presidents that wound up as presidents lost the popular vote. Three appointed by Donald Trump were confirmed by senators who represent a minority of Americans. A majority of this court, in other words, were not appointed by a process that is representative of the will of the American people. Two were appointed via starkly undemocratic means put in place by bad actors willing to change the rules to suit their needs. Neil Gorsuch only has his seat because Republicans, led by Mitch McConnell, blocked the ability of Barack Obama to nominate Merrick Garland. or anyone to a Supreme Court seat, claiming that because it was an election year, voters should get to decide. And then Donald Trump appointed Amy Coney Barrett, and a radically rushed and incompetent, incoherent process in an election year. So if you just flip-flop Amy Coney Barrett and Merrick Garland, we don't have 6-3, we have 5-4. And as it turns out, Roberts, who's a Republican, oftentimes votes for the Democrats, this wouldn't have happened. So the Supreme Court, the one entity that you constantly hear people talking about, the greatness of our nation, really is not exactly what it should be when you look at the history of what happened. And it is a frustrating, somber reality that we are going to have to deal with for the next 30 years or so. Our phone lines open as always at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You could text us at that same number. You know, and then you look at a guy like Clarence Thomas. And I never will forget when Clarence Thomas first got nominated by then Ronald Reagan. And Clarence Thomas was nominated for that position because of I'm having one of those senior moments today where Sam helped me out. So when somebody is appointed to a position because there's been discriminatory practices, and so we have to correct it. What is that called?
Oh, gosh, I failed AP Gov. Come on.
I don't know why I'm having trouble. This is a simple term. I'm a black person. I should know. When black people have been denied access to things, and then they turn around and they say, you must allow black people in. God, how can I not remember something that simple? But anyway, Clarence Thomas was given that position because then Justice Thurgood Marshall, who was a black man, died, and so they replaced him with another black man because they wanted to make sure. What is that term?
Affirmative action.
Affirmative action.
Tom, you are the savior. Thank you today.
Who was that?
L.A. Tom, again, saving us.
Listen, I'm a black man in America. I've been that way forever, and I can't remember affirmative action. I need a break. I really do. Need a break. How can I not remember?
It's been a long weekend. It's okay.
You know, again, that's how Clarence Thomas got his seat. And then he turned around and said, I don't believe in affirmative action. Hey, man, that's how you got where you are. The reason that he was appointed was because of the death of the first black Supreme Court justice, Thurgood Marshall. And then he gets in and he goes and he closed the door on others because he's a Republican. Now listen to this. The thing about a man like Clarence Thomas is that you hear people say, and I remember when I was a younger person and Republicans would constantly tell me and say to me, that, man, you should be thankful that, aren't you happy that Clarence Thomas is a Supreme Court justice? As a black person, you should be thankful that there's a black man on the Supreme Court. And I would say, wait a minute. When Thurgood Marshall was on the Supreme Court, I remember him. I was thankful for that man because I know he was just. And I know that he was a fighter for what's right and that he wasn't a puppet. But we know who Clarence Thomas is. We've known who he's been all the time. Sam, who do we have on the line?
First up, we have Bill from Oconomowoc.
Hey, Bill, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. Now, how come, Bill, I need a break, man. I can't remember affirmative action. I can't remember the contract for America. What is happening? Well, I know what's happening.
I'll tell you what's happening.
Let me do it quickly. I'm spending too much time watching conservative news.
Well, you got a point. But here's what's happening. I'm 73 years old, Earl, and there's going to come a day when I'm going to meet new people every day.
Right.
You think you're losing your memory a little bit. Get to be my age. But, you know, like I said, I meet new people all the time. Yeah, I just don't remember who the heck they are anymore.
But, Bill, you're not on the radio 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and I'm supposed to remember.
That's true. Yeah. That's true, Earl. And you know what? I think you do need a well-deserved vacation or something. You know, air it out. Come on, buddy. I'll go drink beer with you.
Hey, Bill, what are your thoughts? You're 73 years old. You know the prominence of the United States Supreme Court. You know that all that is this nation, that the Supreme Court is supposed to be the one thing, the one entity that makes the nation what it's supposed to be. And it's not supposed to be political. It's supposed to be fair and equitable and all those kinds of things. Do you believe in it now?
Well, let me just tell you about that. I realized when Newt Gingrich wrote his memoirs or whatever and said, no longer do we have friends across the aisle. We're going to war. And then entered Scott Walker. Well, and then the Heritage Foundation, all these far right wing
the Federalists.
Right. All of them. Throw them in one big. They had one goal. Control the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Well, they've got that control. It's here and now. But here's what I say on this overturn of Roe v. Wade. I can't give you any answer what I think, because if they're coming for me and my reproductive organs, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I thought they were the little government people. Now they want to legislate a woman's body by a bunch of old fat white guys. That's BS. That's insanity. I don't believe in abortion. I'm a Christian man. I don't believe in abortion. But there are certain cases. You got to look at everything objectively. Clarence Thomas came in with way too much baggage. We knew that. We knew that, but just like Kavanaugh.
Right.
Kavanaugh was the biggest joke we ever had, and those far righties hate it when Kamala Harris put his finger in the ringer and said, I'm going to ask you tough questions. My point is that what did we expect when we knew the conservatives were going to load the court? Now, here's what a lot of people don't realize. Biden can smoke this whole thing. He can set that on fire and say, no, I'm reversing. He's got the power to do it. And we can overturn this. I think these Republicans bit off more they can chew, and now based on the minority reports or majority reports, they don't want this in our country. I think the far right's gotten so crazy, they just react. They don't even think what the
Bill, it's a civil war. As I stated earlier, it's not going away. These people are going to be marching all the way through 2022. And you don't know the full totality of what is going to take place. It's not going to go away. Thank you very much. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789 in Texas, that same number. Before we go back to the phone lines, I was just talking about Clarence Thomas. Justice Clarence Thomas took a broader view of what his Supreme Court colleagues said. In his opinion, concurring with the majority, he wrote that if the legal underpinnings of Roe versus Wade were wrong, then so were the underpinnings of other rights. So he says that the Roe versus Wade was wrong. 1973. In his opinion, that was wrong. But he also further stated that the underpinnings of other rights were wrong. What other rights are you talking about? That's the issue. What are the other rights that are going to fall like dominoes now that they've taken down Roe versus Wade? Let's go to the phone lines. Sam, who do we have up?
Jack from Milwaukee.
Hey, Jack, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning, Earl. I love your passion this morning. Anyhow, I wanted to throw in one little fact here. They've gotten rid of, in most states, capital punishment.
Right.
Because they're afraid, well, somebody might, they're afraid that some innocent person might get killed that didn't do it. But yet, the government wants to intervene and decide that you should have, that the mother should have the child. Well, every case is different. I don't think that should be, the government should be sticking their nose in it. I think it should be between the mother, the father, and the doctor, and that's the way it should be decided. That's what you call democracy.
Yes.
But anyhow, that was my point, Earl, and I'll just sit
back. Well, let me ask you this.
Okay. I don't know if I can answer it, but
you can answer it because it's simple. At the same time, they're arguing about the constitutional right to own a gun. Who can beat Republicans talking about my constitutional right to own a firearm, right?
Very, very, very good point, Earl.
I don't want the government interfering with my right to own this weapon.
Right. Right, but they want to interfere. But they want to interfere with the women's choice to, that should be their choice. That's what you call democracy. And another point too is, when you serve, have you ever served on jury duty?
No, not yet.
I've had several times.
Yeah, but I'm
they always ask you whether you can be impartial. Well, this jury are nothing but a bunch of political hacks. They're not impartial, and that's the way our government was. It was a three-branch system. They're supposed to be impartial, and they're not.
So that's why I'm talking about the fact that the Supreme Court, as we once knew it, which was really the harbinger of what made the nation great, is no longer that.
Amen.
Because
I agree with you 100%.
As you stated, these people are not impartial.
That's right.
And we see that. And so
that's why I was kind of surprised when you made the statement this morning that Joe Biden was against packing the court.
Joe Biden is.
I can't believe it because you know that the Republicans are not playing fair. Obama was not. He was denied his privilege, and he had like 9 months left where there was only a couple weeks left, and Trump had his privilege of. It doesn't make. That's not fair. You know, that's what I want to throw in.
Well, thank you.
Our democracy is just going away. That's all there is to it. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. It really is at the root of it in undeniable trouble. And I don't know where you are. Here's what's coming up next. So here I am watching what they just did with Roe versus Wade. You know what I think is coming next? The Voting Rights Act. So why wouldn't they take that away? Clearly, they're going to do whatever in the best interest of Republicans. That's exactly what they're going to do. What did they do? They also voted on school choice. And so they decided that if we're going to give money to private schools, you can't discriminate against Catholic schools because, you know, this is not right. It's not fair. It's not just. So even though private schools can get government money, they said it discriminated against parochial schools. Well, there's a difference between a private school and a parochial school. A private school doesn't teach religion. A parochial school does. So if you talk about the fact that it certainly seems better that you have a government that doesn't side with any religion, because after all, if you're going to bring religion into a debate anywhere, the question becomes, which religion are we going to support? Because there's so many religions, it's not going to be right and just to pick out the biggest one, which is Christianity. So that's why the justices before would not even entertain those kinds of conversations. I wonder if 50 years from now, there are going to be justices who are going to turn around and undo what this conservative group of justices just did in saying it's okay to give government money to parochial schools, parochial churches that have schools. That's a decision that definitely had not been done before. And now there'll be people in the future who I hope it doesn't take 50 years, will turn around and say, this decision was wrong. Because that's what they did with Roe versus Wade. This group changed what the other group said. And now there'll come a time when they undo what this group says. And I wonder if people then will say, well, that wasn't right to say that this group of justices today weren't right for the time. Well, you argue this group is saying that the group from 50 years ago wasn't right. I think the same thing needs to be said about them, only don't wait for 50 years. Let's say it now. They're not right. They're unjust. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us, 844-967-2789. We'll be back.